In the sermon today, I want to explore inward journey and outward journey, because your life of following Jesus has some inward parts and some outward parts. And as we start, I'd like to ask you, which are you more drawn to, the outward or the inward? It's okay to admit that you're drawn to one or the other. It's not a sin. People are different and people have different styles. So have a think about this, because I'm going to ask you to actually reflect on it and identify which you are more drawn to. Our journey of following Jesus is most obviously an outward journey. It involves things that you can taste and touch and see and hear and smell. And that's outward stuff. Following Jesus is not some sort of private, unseen thing. It's a public thing. And anyone who thinks otherwise hasn't listened to his teaching very carefully. The outward journey is that life of living differently to others around you, of doing things that actually show and live your faith. We're called to this. It's a life of doing and achieving. It's practical and it's missional. In the 19th and 20th centuries, the last two centuries, the Christian movement on this planet took an incredible outward journey, of mission, of service, of caring. They built leprosy missions. They built clinics for the deaf and the blind. They built hospitals and schools all over the planet. And they did that because Jesus calls us to heal the sick, to raise up the poor, to feed the hungry, etc., right? This is part of following Jesus. Following Jesus is not some private thing that you do in a corner. It's an active outward journey. It says in the book of James, faith by itself without action is dead. If we think that following Jesus is just a private inner thing, and that spiritual matters and that faith stuff are just a private matter, and that no one else should ever know about that because this is just for me, well, we're not paying attention to the Bible, and we're certainly not paying attention to the way that Jesus spoke of following him. Jesus said, love your neighbour as yourself. Think about these words. Do you imagine that Jesus is saying, you know, the neighbours across the street just like sit there and go, oh, I love them so much. Oh, they're so good. I love them. That would be an inward thing. Is that what Jesus is looking for? No. You don't even have to feel good to them sometimes. But when Jesus says, love your neighbour as yourself, he is talking about an outward action, an outward journey. You can't love someone without doing something to prove it, right? To follow Jesus is a very public outward journey. Getting baptised is a very public outward thing. Coming to church, people say, you really did that? That's a public outward thing. Spending your money differently is a public outward thing. This is an important part of following Jesus. Don't neglect it. But on the other hand, following Jesus is also an inward journey. It's about the heart and the mind. It's about invisible stuff that no one else can see. Much of following Jesus is actually about what happens privately when no one's looking. And in Matthew 6, he talks about how to pray, and he says, go to the secret place. The Greek is the crypt, encrypto. It's private where no one else will see. And this is a very important part of following Jesus to me, because, you know, I could have written this sermon in a very outward journey way. I could write a sermon by just getting online, doing a bunch of Googling stuff. That's outward, by the way. I could have got a bunch of books and read them, and I did. And I did Google some things too, because I needed to check up how to spell colloquy. But I could do a whole bunch of outward stuff. Or the people that preach God's word to you, one of whom is me, we could do some really hard stuff, which is going into the crypt, into that secret place with Jesus and listening to his word and letting him break our hearts and rebuild us again. And you know what? None of you can see that. You can't work out just by looking at someone necessarily whether they've done the inner journey. But I tell you what, the inner journey makes all the difference. And for those of you who are considering preaching, you know who you are. Never preach from your outer journey and from your own strength. Jesus must break your heart, and the word of God must pull you to bits before you can speak it to others. That's the inner journey. I could spend more time on this because at the moment, that's probably where I'm focused. Psalm 51. Would you read it out loud with me? Because it's so good. You delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Sometimes as people mature, and especially as they age, we see them transition from an outward journey where they were always busy serving and helping and doing to an inward journey. Have you seen that happen? This needs to happen for each of us. A person that goes on that inward journey starts to actually think more about the meaning of things and just quietly sit and abide with God, and God works in their heart in new ways. And it stops becoming so much about what they do and more about who they are. Have you seen maybe an older person or a more mature person? They appear at first to retreat a little. Have you seen that? And sometimes younger people, can I be included in that just for today, guys? Sometimes the younger people look at the person who's gone on the inner journey and they say, they're useless. Like, what do they do? But that person that's going on the inner journey is actually experiencing realities that you can't see. And that's an important journey to take. One of my favourite proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. I think you can tell somebody is going on the inner journey, and sometimes the inner journey is very painful because it involves God confronting me with myself. The inner journey isn't all about getting to know God. It's actually first about getting to know myself and being confronted again and again with my flaws and my weaknesses and those little gaps in my heart and soul that Jesus wants to fill. And he keeps doing it through your life. And yep, it can hurt. But sometimes you can tell when someone's gone on the inner journey or going on it, because despite the fact that they've stopped to do quite so much outwardly, they actually care for you. The inner journey takes us to a place of compassion. Okay, so which do you pay more attention to? This is for you to discuss, to tell someone you are with, or to reflect on just for yourself. If you don't want to talk to someone, that's cool. And it's okay to say one or the other, because you can't follow Jesus without the outward journey and you can't follow Jesus without the inward journey. Which do you pay more attention to at the moment? Just for the moment. Over to you. Tell somebody nearby or just think about it for a moment. Okay, I'm going to ask for a quick show of hands, and some of you will be balanced. Just choose one anyway for fun. Please join in with me on this, otherwise it's going to look really bad for me as a leader when I say put up your hands and no one does. So, who feels that they're paying more attention to the outward journey right now? Who feels they're paying more attention to the inward journey right now? Oh, it's 50-50. Who's 50-50? Put up both hands. Okay. This week at church, I saw one of our members gardening. It was Brian. Brian was out there, like a trooper, in the heat, gardening at Emmanuel Worship Centre. Well done. Thank you, Brian. And I looked at him. Yeah. Woo. I looked at him, and I thought to myself, ah, look at Brian. He's doing outward stuff, isn't he? That's outward journey. Hey, he's working, he's serving, he's caring. And I have to confess something, Brian. I'm a bit of a people watcher. I hope this isn't awkward and a bit creepy, because it is. I only watched you for 30 seconds. It's half a minute, but that's a long time when you're doing nothing for me. And I just saw him out there gardening, and I thought, outward journey, inward journey. And I watched him, and I realised, I think Brian was doing inward stuff too. I think, and you'll have to all go and bug him now and ask, because I might have it wrong. But I think that as he was gardening, serving the church with the soil and the earth and the weeds, kill the weeds, kill the weeds, and all that, I think that he was doing inward stuff too.
I think he was reflecting. I think he was thinking. He was probably even praying in a way, whether or not he told us that. I think he was doing an inward journey. So sometimes we need to do an outward thing to foster the inward thing. And sometimes we need to do an outward thing, like for instance, sometimes you've become aware in your heart that you're really just basically a greedy person, that you only spend money on yourself. You know what? You're never going to break that thing by just thinking about it. You actually got to do an outward thing, which is just go and give $1,000 to Compassion Australia. I've done that a couple of times where I'm just like, I'm so focused on my budget, stuff it. I'm going to do an outward thing to refocus my inward journey. Does that make sense? Other times, and this is so important because this is my focus today, you have to acknowledge that the outward faith, the outward stuff that you do, it all comes from the inward. And if the inward is wrong, the outward, no matter how good it looks, is rotten. Have you ever been in a place where you're living the Christian life and doing good and helping others, but deep down you just feel a bit rotten because God needs to do something inward and you're avoiding it? Yeah? Let's have a look at some verses from Jesus. The greatest commandment is this, says Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. Let's just go through. Outward or inward journey stuff. You ready? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Inward, yep. And with all your soul, what's that? Inward. With all your mind, inward. With all your strength. Bit of both, not sure. And the second greatest commandment, in Matthew's version, he says the second is the same, which I love. Love your neighbour as yourself. It's basically outward. Love is action. So the two go together, but notice this, the outward will flow from the inward. And if your inward journey, if you've forgotten Jesus, if prayer for you is like 30 seconds a day, but you spend 2 hours watching telly, the outward journey proceeds from the inward and it will get sick. Does that make sense? Here's another one. Mark 3:13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12. Read this last line, this last sentence with me. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out. Notice the two journeys here. Can you see it? This is a really interesting passage because this is where Jesus, he's called the disciples. Now he says, come over here. And he appoints 12 of them and he says, you're the special ones. You're the core. And this stands for us too. What he says to them stands for us. And as he appoints them, it's for two things. And we tend to notice the second one. That's outward journey. He's going to send them out. We think of Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations. Outward. He sent them out. But we often miss the thing straight before it. What did he appoint them for? That they might be with him. And notice the word be. Not do, but be. The first call for a disciple of Jesus is that we are appointed to be with him. That's inward stuff. We are appointed before everything else, before Netflix and Stan and before Instagram and all that stuff you guys do, and before the telly and before the job and before driving. Oh, driving's so much fun. Before all those things, before sport, to be with him. Before giving, before caring for the poor, yeah, before setting the wrongs of the world to right, we are appointed to be with him. So the outward comes from the inward. And that's what we're going to look at. If you are in a study group this week, you're going to have a lot of fun with this stuff, I hope. One more. Jesus says, would you read it with me? It's so good. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in them, that person will bear much fruit. What does Jesus mean that a person will bear fruit? What is that? Can somebody tell me? It's spiritual gifts in your life. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, love, joy, patience, kindness, self-control. It's helping others. It's amazing things that come out of the gospel of Jesus. And Jesus says, whoever abides in me, lives in me, remains in me, that's What's that? Inward or outward? Oh, that's inward stuff. An I in them. He lives in you. From that inward presence of Jesus comes this amazing stuff which he calls fruit. So, as we come into this season of Lent, I'm going to invite you to think about the inward journey. But sometimes you have to do something in your outward journey to focus yourself on the inward journey. And a great example of that is the discipline of fasting. We Lutherans, we think that grace is so good that I'm saved and I don't have to do anything, and we say that so much that we forget the fact that there is an outward journey which involves discipline in our lives and fighting sin. And fasting's a great way to do that. It's a discipline. God didn't say you have to do this. This doesn't get you closer to Jesus or higher to heaven. But many people give up something for the season of Lent or for a particular time. And I've just got a hint for you. If you're going to fast, if you're going to give up something, two things. One, use it for prayer. Don't use it to moan and complain and whine. Oh, it's so hard, I gave up coffee. And how are you going with your coffee fast, Ben? Caffeine headaches. I'm on day 5 and I'm clear. One, use it to drive you to prayer. Okay, Ben? When you have caffeine pangs, take an inward journey. Let the outward call you back to Jesus. Secondly, please choose something significant. Don't just go, I've given up Tim Tams for lunch, it's so hard. I've given up coffee and tea. Oh, woe is me. The people are starving in Somalia, but I'm dying because I've got no caffeine. Do something serious, hey? Like, seriously, give up something that really actually hurts. Well, in your case, Ben, caffeine is appropriate. Or alcohol, or meat, or maybe it's food at certain times of the week, or maybe with the giving up, you would like to take up something instead. But make it real. The best fasts, in my view, for people under 30, are probably technological ones. Enough said. As we finish, there are three big questions that the Bible study groups get to do. You can get the study in the foyer if you didn't get it. Three big questions for you this week. One, are you drawing strength from the outward or the inward? Two, do you get comfort from the outward or the inward? And three, do you get meaning from the outward or the inward? I'm not saying that we shouldn't enjoy a glass of wine or an episode of something on Netflix. It's okay to enjoy God's creation in the world. Jesus did. But where are you drawing your strength from? That's the first question that you're going to get to look at. Just think for a moment. What gets you strong? Because I see a lot of people who get their strength from what other people think of them, from other people's opinion of them. Well, that's getting it from outwards. I see people who get strength from looking tough. We've got a gym just down the road here, and when I'm on my walk, I often see them with their boxing gloves on their run. And they look really good. And they all take their shirts off to show off. And you know what? If you're good at that, do it. It's great. I'm not condemning that at all. But I know some people in that group who are broken and shattered inside like little kids because they've been abused and hurt, and they're emotionally like a 5-year-old. And they're building their strength on the outside. They're being so tough because they're trying to have a strong journey. But you know what? Inside they're shattered, and I can see straight through it. And can you? You see straight through the tough guy? It's really sad. There are many ways that we try to get strength on the outward. It might be how we dress, how we act, the people we hang with, and especially what people think of us. So that's just a question for you. Or is it coming from inward, which is to be able to say, Jesus loves me. This I know. And that is enough. Oh, by the way, in Christ, I am enough. Yeah. Do you get comfort from the inward or the outward? Look, things go wrong in life and it hurts. And in our Western society, I think this is the biggest one. We are drawing our comfort from the outward. So some of us draw our comfort from binge-watching Game of Thrones or some other show that's got three words in its title, I don't know, House of Cards. See, they've got three. We binge-watch telly. We just binge do the internet, just read the news continually, or we go on shopping websites, and we're getting comfort, and it feels really nice because it quietens us down, and it's kind of like an internal thing. It feels a bit like inward journey, to just sit quietly and just browse and click and click and click, and to have that serotonin in your brain just going bam, bam, bam every time you click. But you know what? If that's you, I'm sorry, that's outward. You're getting your comfort from outward stuff. Or perhaps for some of us it's porn, or it's something that's wrong, like alcohol, some other addiction. Again, we draw our comfort from the outward stuff. I know some people who shall not be named that when they are depressed say, just go and buy a new handbag. Bam, you'll feel much better. And you know what? It works. But that's drawing your comfort from the outward, not the inward. So that's stuff you're going to discuss. Finally, do you get meaning from the outward or the inward? And this is the most dangerous one for Christians, I think. Because a lot of Christians forget their first love, Jesus. And they think that they're a great Christian and they think they've got Jesus, but what they've got is just a whole bunch of outward journey. They're just feeding the poor, they're serving the sick, they're visiting the bereaved, they're doing, and they're feeling really good because of all the doing. Do you know someone like that in our church? I feel good because I'm just always busy and always doing, and I'm serving the Lord. But they're getting their meaning from the outward, and God is calling you inward, if that's you. Does that make sense? And there are many other ways that we can get our meaning from our outward. It might be because of our status, because of our ethnicity, because of our relationships. It might be that I'm drawing my meaning from that one person who loves me so much, and I wrap everything around them. But you know what? Jesus is calling you inward. This week in your studies, you're going to look at this amazing quote by Pascal. I've decided I don't have time for it now, so you have to grab the Bible study guide and get it off there. Amazing mathematician from about, 400 years ago. Amazing stuff. Instead, I'm going to finish by just getting you to read with me these words. You ready? I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in them, that person will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This Lent, for 40 days, please join us as Jesus calls us inward. He is the vine. He wants to be in you and you in him. Join us as we are quieter, and then we will bear much fruit. For apart from Christ, we can do nothing. This Lent, in your heart, stop and hear that you are loved. Deep in your soul, ask someone to tell you if you're not sure. Hear them proclaim the word of God to you that Jesus loves you. And take that deep into who you are. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're ready for a journey with you, but the truth is we have no idea what you will do, where you will take us, or how it will be. Teach us just to trust you. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Go in peace. Amen.